This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. Iraq became the topic of furious political debate this week. Outrage was expressed on both sides. While Congress continued negotiations over the wording of a resolution giving the president authority to wage war against Iraq, leading Democrats and the White House accused each other of playing politics with national security. The fall elections are just weeks away. Control of both houses of Congress is in the balance. And the prospect of war with Iraq seems to be dominating headlines and campaign dialogue, not the economy or other domestic concerns. Joining us to talk about this cross-current between Iraq and politics is William Kristol, editor and publisher of the Weekly Standard. He was the vice president's chief of staff during the first Bush administration. Mr. Kristol, thanks for being with us.
Good to be with you.
And also John Podesta, who was chief of staff in the Clinton White House and is now professor at Georgetown University's National Law Center. Mr. Podesta, thank you very much for being with us.
Nice to be with you, Scott.
And let me ask you both, if you could begin, Mr. Kristol. How did the timing of this debate on Iraq occur, as far as you are concerned or can analyze it now, Mr. Kristol?
Well, the debate heated up in this country in August. Lots of former officials weighed in. The Democrats said they wanted to have a serious debate. I think at the end of the month, the president realized that he needed to move both in terms of getting the congressional authorization he does need to go to war, in terms of going to the UN. He had his UN speech scheduled on September 12th. So I think this was just the time to move, and moving we are.
Mr. Podesta, do you share that?
Well, I hope that that's true. I think that that clearly the White House had aimed this at the fall, and I think perhaps it was as a result of the anniversary of 9/11 and certainly the UN Security Council speech. But what's happened, I think, as a result of some of the language that's been used by the president, especially by his political staff, is I think he's that the motivation about the timing of it has been called into question.
Well, would you call it into question? I mean, that's a pretty serious charge, isn't it, that the president of the United States would seem to be moving towards
indeed,
committing
Scott,
troops?
I've defended the president on this point, and I think that no president would put troops in harm's way in anticipation of an election. But I have to say, I think that the way they've managed their political voice on this, if you will, the Mr. Rove being out so strongly saying that we want to make the war and security part and parcel of this election, the president suggesting that Democrats in the Senate didn't care about national security, I think has made a lot of people more suspect.
Let me ask the both of you. Is the middle of an election campaign not in many ways a very good time to have a debate about what, after all, could be just about the most serious exercise of government that an administration can undertake?
Of course it is. Look, if the president had waited till after November, he would have been accused of ducking the issue and doing it presumably for his own personal reelection campaign. I don't buy any of this argument. I think Karl Rove said that war and national security were legitimate grounds on which to judge the president's performance, and votes on defense spending and for previous efforts to go to war are legitimate grounds on which to judge congressmen, and that's true.
I'm wondering if both of you gentlemen share the assessment. I guess we offered in the introduction ourselves, which is that domestic concerns are being overlooked or set aside in this campaign because Iraq seems to be front and center. Mr. Kristol?
Well, first of all, I think the voters decide what they want to focus on, and the notion that they're being overlooked or set aside, by whom? Candidates are out speaking about them. People can put up ads on whatever they want. Secondly, the decision about war in Iraq is the most important decision this country faces in the short term, and people of goodwill disagree about whether this is the right war to fight at this time, how to fight it, etc. It would be ridiculous not to have it debated.
Mr. Podesta?
Yeah, well, I think that the American public, they can understand both debates going on at the same time, and I have great faith that they will cast their votes based on what they see is in the national interest on both from a national security perspective, but more importantly, I think with regard to Congress, from where the country's headed domestically, on the weak stock market, on the rise in unemployment, and will cast their votes accordingly. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Podesta, let me ask you a question as a Democrat. When former Vice President Gore said this week, suggested that the administration had perhaps overlooked some signs that might have helped them forecast some of the attacks of September 2001, and I'm obviously paraphrasing what he said, do Democrats who served in the Clinton administration live in kind of a glass house on that issue?
Well, I think that when something is horrific— as the 9-1-1 incidents, the attack on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon in Pennsylvania. When that happens, I think everybody has to look back and say, is there something more we could have done?
You know, Scott, I agree with everything John says. And I think the debate on 9-11, what could have been done to avert it, has been quite mature. There has not been much rock throwing from either side, I think. And to the degree that there were mistakes, they were in large measure bipartisan mistakes. What strikes me the most about this past week politically is the vice president's speech, though. The tone was not the tone that you just heard from John Podesta. It wasn't the tone that you've heard from most serious Democrats, including the Democrats running the Intelligence Committee investigations over the last several months. It was a snide tone about President Bush. You know, it was just really inappropriate. And, of course, Gore's speech is the reason we've been discussing Iraq all week, incidentally.
Let me ask you, gentlemen, finally to analyze the situation, which to my knowledge I have no personal links, but I think it's a story that has intrigued me over the past few weeks. Prime Minister Blair in Great Britain, Prime Minister, head of a left-of-center government, taking such an outspoken position in favor of U.S. policy toward Iraq. What under criticism not only by much of the British press, but more to the point members of his own party, what do you make of his stand? Mr. Crystal?
I think he's been pretty consistent. He was in favor of removing Slobodan Milosevic, a dictator who threatened the stability of Europe in the late 90s. He's in favor of removing Saddam Hussein, a dictator who threatens the Middle East and indeed us, and who's in violation, as Milosevic was, of UN resolutions and now.
I fundamentally agree with that. I would add one other point, which is that I think that he's probably also watching what's going on the continent. And I think he's extremely committed to the Atlantic Alliance and NATO. And I think that given the very strong pull, especially by the Germans, away from the coalition that with the United States on this front, I think he's probably trying to pull everyone back together. And I think he's done a pretty good job of that.
Gentlemen, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Scott.
John Podesta was chief of staff in the Clinton White House. He now teaches law at Georgetown University. And Bill Crystal is editor and publisher of the Weekly Standard. He was chief of staff for Vice President Quayle.